I want you to say destiny. Say it again. Destiny. Repeat after me. I have a destiny. God's chosen me and called me. God has a destiny for the relationships in my life, for my children. God has a destiny for every person in this room. God has a destiny for everyone outside these walls. God has a destiny for this church body. Say it again. Destiny. Destiny. One more time. Destiny. Now let's praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are. You loved us, called us before the foundation of the world. We don't understand it. We just know you did, and we rejoice in it. Here we are today in your love and your grace. We know, Lord, you have the plan. Lord, we know that we'll never find fulfillment except as we walk in your plan. Today, I pray that you would make real to us who you are, what you're doing, what you want to do in our lives and every one of us, Lord, what you want to do through us and for us, for your glory. Now anoint me, minister to us in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about faith. You know that destiny is a direct result of faith. Without faith and obedience, destiny will never be accomplished in our lives. It's impossible. We have to cooperate with God. You can't get saved without faith and obedience. And that it's not just one step of faith. But it tells us that faith is revealed. See, from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. As we walk in obedience, as we walk in belief before the Lord God. Today, I want to talk about those that have gone before us. I want us to take a look at their lives and their faith and what it's meant to us as a church. What's happened and what wouldn't have happened if they would not have responded. What would have happened if they wouldn't have responded? That none of these things would be here today. All that you saw. We can't even imagine, you know, the fruit that's come through all these events and ministry through the years. Every place I go, I run into people that know about Countryside or were saved here. Or God did something for their relative. I mean, every place. It happens all the time. So first thing I want to talk about as we talk about faith is faith envisions tomorrow. Unbelief lives for today. Will you say it with me? Number one, faith envisions tomorrow. Unbelief lives for today. So people that are unbelieving, you know, they live for themselves. It's kind of a grab all kind of, you know, get as much gusto out of life as we can. And but at the same time that there's all these insecurities and that they're never fulfilled. And the more they get, the more they want. There's no purpose. There's no direction. Their lives are all messed up and all kinds of things that they're trying to fill that hole that only Jesus can, because they really don't have any unbelief. Because they walk in unbelief. It's like eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, you know, that's certainly not a Christian philosophy. We know that. Our faith envisions tomorrow. We're willing to do whatever we need to today because that is going to affect what happens tomorrow in our lives. You know, it's hard sometimes to show a kid that, you know, that what you do now is going to affect things that happen in your future. Getting your education now, sticking it out, is going to affect what happens later. But how much more for us as Christians as we obey God now that we're sowing seed that's going to affect our lives later? In every way, in every area of our life. So it not only envisions tomorrow's victory for us, but actually moves out of time into eternity. And the things we do now are going to affect things that happen in our lives in eternity, are going to affect the lives of many other people. What we do now affects those. So I want to thank the Lord for all those that who obeyed God and went before us, and to think because of their faithfulness, because of their sacrifices, because of their prayers, because of their labor, all this taking place today. It wouldn't have happened. It was because of that faithfulness. People of faith envision tomorrow. And they know by faith that what they do now is going to make a difference in their lives, and it's going to make a difference in the lives of many people. And we can see the fruit of that. We can see the fulfillment of that. It started with just that handful. Look at the Davises, and when they came, you know that there were 8 people and that were there. And out of that small group, and then as a few more added, actually the reason some of those people aren't around is because they were older people and they're not here anymore. I thought of five people from that early fellowship, you know, they'll go on and be with the Lord. It's not because God struck them down. I mean, they just got old, you know. And to think what's happened, you know, just like with the Davis family and with so many other things. Brother Clayton Davis, I remember when we were in the living room, I've said before, there was five of them that came and joined the eight. And I mean, that was great church growth, going from 8 to 13. You figure out the percentage, man. We were excited. And that when we challenged the people to move in, keep going, that he bought a portable PA system for us. And that investment, it affected so many lives then. And that's the way it went through the years. The second thing is that faith steps out when unbelief says, let's stay here. Let's just stay here. This is good enough. Just want to be comfortable. Don't want to really be uncomfortable. You know, I just like things the way they are. Kind of us four, no more. And there was some like that in the living room. This just had that us four and no more mentality. And when it was time for us to go, they didn't want to go. And they missed it. I mean, think of it. They missed the blessing of God. They missed a part of being the foundation of something great that God was doing. It's like a spiritual Amway, you know. It's like you invest and the blessing just keeps coming back on you as seed that you've sown. Can you grasp hold of that? That what we invest, see, it compounds. Moses stepped out and led Israel, if we remember, to the edge of the promised land and then sent out 12 spies. And they came back. And it was only Caleb and Joshua. They came back and they said, yeah, you know, they saw the giants there. They saw the challenges. They saw the walled cities too, like the other spies did. But they said, listen, God's given this to us. This is easy. This is nothing for God. You know, look what God's done in the past. And we're going to go in. They said, this is bread to us. You know, we can eat them up. God's with us. How can we fail? We can take them. The other 10 spies came back and said, oh, this is too hard. Man, we saw giants there. You know, we're going to die. You know, how can God handle that? And they had fear in their hearts. Matter of fact, they said, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Not in the giant's sight, in our own sight. See, people whose faith see a little God, a small God, are always going to see themselves small in comparison to any challenge that comes into their life. People will see God for who he is, a great big God. Man, bigger than anything that will come along. Oh, all things are not possible for man, but all things are possible for God. They're going to see what challenge is too big if God's called us to do it. He's with us. He's going to do it. And so people of faith, you know, they're going to step forward. You know, Noah stepped out. It was an unusual thing in faith and obedience. God told him to build an ark. He wasn't even quite sure how that was going to work. It hadn't even rained at that time. He wasn't even close to any water. Up until that point, the water was you read it, it was there was a mist that watered the earth. There was no rain. God says, it's going to rain. He said, what is rain? And by faith, he started building that great big boat. Man, he believed God. He believed God. His neighbor said, you are crazy. What are you doing? Building that thing. That's not an addition to your house. But he continued to do it. And they all perished. Because they didn't believe. They just wanted to stay where they were. It's comfortable. Didn't believe. When God was actually making a way for their escape, they missed it. They didn't believe God. Because they just wanted to stay where they were. You know, faith and obedience always win. Not just part of the time. I want you to get hold of this. See, I could tell this just, listen, faith and obedience sometimes win. It's faith and obedience what?
Always
win. Every single time, 100%. Faith and obedience never will fail to bring victory into your life. As we trust God and obey him, do it God's way, he's always going to bring victory in your life. So the Lord's wanting to do something great. I want you to know what's going on out there. We're building an ark. We're building an ark for people that are going to perish if they don't get the word of God to bring them into that place, to fill them up with the lost of the world, people that are perishing. It's more scriptural than you think. God said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise up a standard against it. There is a flood. There's a flood of garbage that's been spewed out of the devil's mouth onto this culture like no other culture ever. It says in the latter days, it'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we know what that means now, don't we? And thank God for people like Ron Luce that are making a stand against it, you know, and calling up the youth of America to make a stand. That's where we are as a church. I don't want to be a ho-hum, do-nothing church. It's time to make a stand for the morality that the Lord tells us to make a stand for. And quit being wimpy Christians. God's called us to do something. So praise the Lord for those that stepped out before us and did something. Or we wouldn't be here today. This wouldn't even be happening. You know, Joshua and the Israelites, if you remember, they marched around Jericho 13 times because God said to do it. I mean, it didn't make any sense at all to that multitude of people. You know, faith and reason always collide. And you can talk yourself right out of a victory when you start reasoning it all out. It doesn't make sense. Do what? And we have this battle between our flesh and between the spirit. And we start to reason, oh, I could never do that. Oh, what would happen if I did that? And then this would happen and that would happen. Oh, no. Instead of getting our eyes on God and just having faith in His Word and forgetting about what it looks like. And then allowing God to do the things that He wants to do in our lives, in us and through us. Somebody say amen in here. God wants to do something awesome. It's awesome. See, it's easy to take yourself right out of believing and obeying. When you begin to reason and figure it all out. You know, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Abraham, David, Nehemiah, Daniel, all the disciples, they stepped out. They stepped out. All those people in Heaven's Hall of Fame in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they all stepped out. They never would have been in that book if they would have lived by fear and not stepped out. All of them faced obstacles. There was no way that it could happen except God did it. How is this ever going to happen? But they believed God, and then God went into action. I want you to know that faith itself, not accompanied by action, is dead. There's a lot of people, you know, they talk a good faith rap, but they don't do anything. It's easy in church. Yeah! Let's do something. Wow. You remember the true story of a man named Blonde, and it was back in... And it was either 1800s or late 1800s that put a rope across Niagara Falls and that he walked across it and then he came back again. And then when he got the other side, he said, do you believe I can take a wheelbarrow across? And they said, yeah. And they walked across with a wheelbarrow. This is a true story. And he walked across Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow. And then he got over and he said, how many think I could take somebody in that wheelbarrow with me? They said, yeah. They said, well, you want to volunteer? All the hands went down pretty fast. You know, it's easy to... Now, I wouldn't have gotten in that wheelbarrow either, but... but it's easy to talk faith, but it's something else to do it and live it and obey God. Can somebody say praise the Lord or amen or, man, I want to be one of those. Faith steps out. Unbelief says, let's just hang back. Number three. Faith thinks of others. Unbelief is concerned with self. Let's say it together. Faith thinks of others. Unbelief is concerned with self. You know, it's really staggering right now to look at all the fruitfulness, all the ministry that flowed from the lives of those people that responded in faith because they loved people. They believed in the vision instead of doing nothing. They gave their sacrifices. They labored. They prayed. And that there are many people here right now, today, in this place, that have a great debt of gratitude to them, whether you know it or not, because of their sacrifices and faith. Because they lovingly responded to God. They made it possible for us to be here on this property, with this facility, the things that happened. And that many of you, you know, you got saved here. Your kids got saved here. You meant your wives. Things have happened. None of that would happen except somebody paid a price so that we can enjoy the blessings of God upon us today. Can you say thank you and praise the Lord? And it was written to the church in Macedonia in response to their love and their faith, because of their heart to minister to the needs of others. And this was written about them. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, it says, "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and then beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They even urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of giving to the saints." They didn't just give what they could, and beyond that, they just give in such a sacrificial way, and that God's commanding them in the scripture. And they didn't have it, but they did it, and they responded. And here it's written about 2,000 years later. Matter of fact, the verses that we should be familiar with in view of their generosity were written as well in 2 Corinthians here in the 9th chapter as an example to others and encourage them in this great truth of God. He said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, you have everything that you need. And out of the abundance of God's provision, then you'll always be able to give to every good work." And that's the truth. You know, when you sow seed, it's going to come back. I don't care what kind of seed it is. It's going to grow up. You know, there was people that sowed seed back there, and that there's harvest has come because of the seed that they sowed. How many of you found out that that's true in your life? You know, whatever it may be. You know, and when you sow, how many of you, let me see, you've seen fruit that's come into your life financially because you've sown seed, and you know that God has done that. So we know that that word is true. And so that it's because it's for love's sake that these people in Macedonia, because of the love of God. So we're confronted with that same faith today, with that same challenge. What are we going to do? You know, are we going to quit? You know, are we going to respond in love? It's like the baton's been passed to us. Like those went before us, there was people that in the living room and in the Kapok Tree Inn and in the 1100 building and people that came in the early days in this church as they sacrificed and gave. And now we enjoy this as we were able to buy the other land and build the next building. And then those that gave to Crossroads of Destiny and we started that building out there. It's like now God's passed the torch. So now you've received the blessings of their labor. Now it's time to step up. And to see, they entered into that great faith adventure, and all these things happened, and blessings came on them because they understood what would happen as they followed the Lord. What else is there to live for? What else is there to live for? Me? You know, it's thinking about other people. It's thinking about the kids out there that are perishing today. They do not have a chance with the stuff that's, excuse me, puked on them every day in the school. I just saw some statistics that 4 million kids in high school are exposed to drugs all the time. The drugs are just easy to get. They're there all the time. He said, if we really care, you know, we would do the same thing that we did in getting the asbestos out of the school. We'd get the drugs out of the school. But people just say, oh, you know, what are we going to do about it? Well, we can do something about it. It's time for us to take a stand. It's time to stand up and let our own light shine and just quit sitting and doing nothing and just coming to church. It's time for us to begin sharing Christ with people. It's time for us to transform this place into a youth center that's going to touch hundreds of young people. God wants us to raise up church. I'm telling you, this is the time. We've got to do something. So the Lord's called us to do something in this community, in this Tampa Bay area. And already we've got such a strong youth ministry. You wait and see what happens when they have their own facility. You wait and see when this place is filled up after school and what happens when kids are drawn in here with the concerts and the events and the things that are going to be taking place. Somebody say, praise God. We need to do something. So we're confronted with that challenge. This is coming from God. You think it's an accident you're in this church now? You really think it's an accident you're here? If you're a first-time visitor, you know, maybe you come back, maybe you won't. But there's people, you've been here. It's not an accident you're here. And so you're going to be confronted with this. Am I going to live for myself? Or am I going to do what I know God's calling me to do? I don't know if I can do it. That's what faith is about. You can't. We're trusting to God to do what we can't do. And when we begin to trust God, we're going to be fasting and praying for 30 days, you watch what's going to happen in our lives. You watch what God's going to do. There's going to be breakthrough. Things are going to happen. We're going to, whoa, this church is going to be lit up. We're just on the verge. You watch. We're going to see breakthrough. You're sitting on the edge of revival, the things that God's going to do in this church as we move forward and what he's called us to do. Faith thinks of others. Unbelief is concerned with self. Number four, faith risks and obeys. Unbelief fears and plays it safe. You know, Israel faced a great, great trial when the Philistines had a face-off with them and then brought out Goliath, you know, their great champion, and said, a winner takes all. You put your best up against this guy. And that David, just this young kid, stepped up and accepted that challenge to fight Goliath. Why? Because he had a faith in God that was larger than what he saw as risk and others saw in risk. He didn't see it as a risk at all. And that God had prepared him for that moment. He's just a kid. But he knew, this isn't a risk. This guy's coming down. He even stood up and said, man, this is the day, man. We're going to feed your flesh to the birds. You're coming down. It's over. And that you would disdain God and bring all these insults to God, you're coming down. The battle's the Lord's, not mine. King Saul, you know, it was a big man. He put armor on David. David knew he couldn't even get in. It was so big. He was filled with fear and cowered, you know. He wanted to play it safe. All David's brothers, they were his big brothers. They too, they were fearful. They just wanted to play it safe. There was not one man out of the whole army of Israel that wasn't filled with fear. It's just too risky. I'm not going out there against that guy. David didn't think it was risky because he had his eyes on God that was so much bigger than this little puny giant, that God was going to do this thing. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, that God wants us to do something. You know, the other disciples, they had the same opportunity to step out of the boat that Peter did. It's too risky. That's never been done before. No way. I'm not getting out of the boat. But Peter had his eyes on Jesus. And he said, man, I can do this thing. Lord, if that's you, then you just bid me come. And he says, well, come on. You ask Jesus what he wants you to do. Say, Lord, if you want me to do this, say, come. He'll say, come on. You listen. He'll say, come on. Trust me. You need to step out of the boat. Quit playing it safe. Peter didn't play it safe. If he would have played it safe, we'd have never had this awesome, awesome story of faith and how he did. You believe that really, really happened? I know it did. It happened. So I heard recently, faith, F-A-I-T-C-H, is fantastic adventures in trusting him. Faith. Fantastic adventures in trusting him. Man, when you begin to trust God, things begin to happen. God wants his people to step out of the boat. Quit playing it safe. I might sink. Well, maybe you'll walk on the water and get a miracle. You know, let's be believing God. God wants you to get your eyes on the Lord, and then you're going to receive confidence. Obey him. Quit playing it safe. Trust him. Join this great faith adventure that God has for your life. It's so boring. It's so boring when you don't trust him and walk in faith. I'm a Christian. Man, there's nothing more exciting than trusting Jesus Christ. You know, when I quit my job, man, I back when I was a young man, you know, was I going to trust God? Was I going to play it safe? Was it going to be fearful? It's kind of risky. You know, my parents, they about flipped out. Quit a good job with all the benefits and automotive design to work with hippies? Oh, man. He did too much dope. I know that. What are you going to do? How are you going to live? I'm just going to trust God. Well, how much are you going to make? I'm about $100 a week. $100 a week? Oh, no. You know, they thought this is too risky. You know, I didn't see it as a risk at all. I thought, man, this is really exciting. This is really cool to step out in faith and watch what God is going to do. Things are about ready to happen. Same thing happened when God called me to Florida. You know, what are you going to do? Stay in security? Or you take a risk? Hey, to me, it wasn't a risk. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know where I was going to be going. God opened the door, ended up at Christian Retreat. Man, it was amazing. The day I ran out of money, I got a paycheck at Christian Retreat. You know, God's faithful. God leads us. He's step by step by step by step. And then I remember when leaving Christian Retreat, man, that's risky, isn't it? Even to leave now security that was happening there, to come to Clearwater with 8 people in the living room. Man, you're going backwards, not forwards. What's happening? At the same time, I had an offer to go to a huge church in Texas where they offered me a parsonage and a car and even access to an airplane. I didn't even have to pray about it. And I said, I know it's just not what God has. This is what God has. This is where he's leading me. God doesn't despise humble beginnings. The only reason I would go there, even consider, they said, well, just please come out and look at it. This is when I was moving into the little apartment complex. I said, just come out and look at it. I said, I don't need to look at it. The only reason I would go there would be for the money and for the perks. And that's not what this is all about for me. This is where God has me and God's going to do something here. They said, what a waste. That's what they said. What a waste. Well, you know, it wasn't a waste. You know, walking in faith before God is never a waste. God is going to bring blessing into your life. Man, and then from the Kapok Tree Inn, we went there. Boy, that, you know, again, that's a risk, isn't it? Now you're going to have to pay rent, and you just got this handful of people, and what's going to happen? You know, we're going to do this. God's leading us. And it wasn't risky. The Lord takes care of us. When we step out in faith, this is a fantastic faith adventure to see what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. Just how he's going to do it. It's just really cool. How are you going to do this, Lord? And he did it. And then oh, man, risky? Go to the 12th floor of the 1100 building downtown and start a church. Oh, yeah, right. I've seen that in a lot of church growth books. Find yourself the highest building there and just get out of the flow where nobody even knows you're there and start a church. You know? And you know what? I prayed. I had a little problem with that myself. Dr. Gills had made available to us property, said if you can find something to use, and they took me up and showed me that, and he says, how about this? And I went, you know, it's like, I don't know. And I prayed, and the Lord said to me, he said, what happened when I was in the wilderness? And I said, well, multitudes came. And he said, wherever I am, people will come. And it was on that word. It didn't seem like a risk after that. Let's go for it. Let's do it. We moved up there to the 12th floor, elevator church. We were the closest church to heaven. And we grew and grew and grew and grew until 800 people were coming up there in the wilderness on that 12th floor downtown. Risky? Not when your eyes are on God. I don't know how many pastors would have started a church on the 12th floor of an office building. I haven't heard a whole lot that have done that. But that's God's plan. He never does it the same way. So then, you know, the same thing happened when we bought the land here. You know, it was a small church. Same thing happened when we built the building and started. Same thing happened then when we trusted God to buy the next piece of property. The same thing happened when we built the education building. Same thing happened when we built the building and started out there. Risky? Yeah. But not in faith. You trust God. You move in him. And the Lord always does more than you think he's going to do. So it may seem risky before you see results, you know, but that's what faith is all about. Faith, trust in the Lord. Even when you can't see clearly, God sees it. His eye is on you. He knows what's happening. His word is still true. His promises are true. I heard a story about a fire that was taking place, and there was the father had come out of the house, and the house was burning, and there were, I mean, pretty good-sized flames, and the smoke was really thick. And his son had crawled out a window, and he was on a roof that was up pretty high on the house. And his father saw him there, and he called to him. I don't know what his name was, but he said, I'm here. He said, you're going to have to jump. And he said, but Dad, I can't see you. I can't see you. Because the smoke was so thick where he was, and he couldn't see. And he says, son, you're going to have to trust me. Jump. I'll catch you, but you're going to have to jump. He says, but I don't know where you are. I can't see you. He said, son, I can see you. You just jump and trust me. I'm going to catch you. That's the way it is with you and God. Do you know when the fire and the heat's on and there's smoke all over the place that God's got his eye on you and he knows exactly where you are and what you're going through and what's happening in your life? You're not alone. Even though that's what faith is, that we walk by faith, not by sight, not by our feelings, man, when the heat's up. We're going to trust God. He knows what you're going through. He's got the answer for you. And so the Lord wants us to step out in faith. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, you see, when you step out of the boat and your safety zone, man, that's when the adventure starts. You just let go of all that stuff. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. And just like Peter, what happened? He held him up, and he's going to hold you up, and he's going to let you walk in places you've never been before. Just like that little boy. You know, when you take that leap of faith into God and say, God, I don't know what's happening here. I just feel this is what you're telling me to do. I have no idea. I feel like I'm nuts. God says, go for it. And we take that leap of faith, and God's going to catch you. The Father's going to catch you. And you're going to see things begin to happen in your life. That's what the Christian life is all about. I mean, that's what's taking place. That's what this faith thing is. It's an adventure. Some of us never know it. There's some people that they never have those awesome breakthroughs and reports, and they don't have those testimonies. Why? They just won't play it safe. They never step out in faith. Oh, boring. Boring. God wants us to step out and trust him. Is he word true or not? Is it true? Is God's word true? So is he going to take care of you? Is he leads us. He's not talking about foolishness. But we pray. That's what we're going to fast. That's what we're going to pray. We're going to get hold of God. Number five is the last one. That faith perseveres and receives the promises. Unbelief gives up and misses the joy of victory. There's people, you know, that they never get it because they just give up. They never get there. They never know the joy. They never know that victory that God had for them. And when it was so close, I mean, after they went through all this fire and heat, then they just quit. And when God's just getting ready to open up heaven on them. You know, I've found out through the years, you know, that God just, he does it when that pressure's coming. You just stand in there. You just hang in there. You know, you don't give up. Hebrews 10, 35, 36 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about all the people that stood in faith in Hebrews 11, that they went through. They're all the Hall of Fame faith people. And they passed the test. They stood in faith. And they said, listen, now there's this great cloud of witnesses, heaven's balcony. They're saying, man, you can do it. We did it. We trusted God. And then it lists all these awesome things that happened that God did because they had faith. And the Lord said, now they've gone before you. They're cheering you on. They're in the bleachers. They're over the sidelines. Say, you can do it. You can run the race. You can do it. Step out in faith. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You got to finish this course. You got to finish the race. It's time to do it. Time to go for it. He's not only people in the Bible, but people that were in the living room, people that went before us. They're saying, now, step up to it. Come on. Come on. We're the witnesses. We've done it. We did it. We did it. Now it's your turn. Here's the baton. Now, here it is. How can we stop? How can we come halfway and say, we quit? That would be a great testimony to the community, a big pile of rust out there. You know, God wants to finish it. God wants to do the work. He wants us to go over the top. He's looking for people. He said, will you believe me? I'm ready to do something in you and through you. This is my work. I'm just waiting to pour out. And because come these miracles are going to start happening, if you'll believe me, if you'll just persevere in your faith, I'm ready to do it. I need my people to believe me and step up now. I'm going to do more than you're expecting. That's who God is. That's who God is. I've been walking in that place since I was 24. The Lord wants to do something. Hallelujah. You know, we all have different measures of faith. Jesus talked about people with no faith, little faith. He talked about people with great faith. He talked about people with so great faith. Scripture talked about people that were filled with faith. And I thought about the TV programs that spoke of where Christians are in their faith. The first one was Father Knows Best. Father Knows Best is people that were trying to live on the faith of their fathers or their mothers. But they're raised in church or something, but they just never really had a personal, you know, faith in Jesus Christ, or they just never really stepped out. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, but that's about it. But their faith is, it's dead. It's boring. It's lifeless. It's just, there was the faith of their fathers. And then the next kind of faith is home improvement faith. Home improvement faith is, well, I really want my kids to be there. It's important for them to be in church. And so they may even come to church because they think it's important for their kids to get that. Or they may send them to Christian school. I know it's important for our kids to be in Christian school, but they don't come to church themselves. It's like a home improvement faith, you know. Hello. And then there's 60 minutes faith. You know, it's go to church for an hour and then that's it, man. That's it. I gave God his hour and it was too long. And then there's happy days faith. Happy days faith is, oh, as long as everything has gone great, man, this is awesome. I've got faith in God that, man, when the trials come, is goodbye God, goodbye church, backsliding, woe is me, God did me in, he really did me wrong, and the whole thing is gone and faith is gone. That's not faith at all. Then there's another kind of faith. It's called ER faith. Pump me, pump me. I'm failing. You know, it's when everything's wrong. Oh, man. Oh, God, I need resuscitation. And we're crying out to God. We get in church, you know. Oh, man. Oh, I'll serve you all my life. I'll be here the rest of my days. And then, you know, we get healed and God changes it around and say, well, thanks, Lord. Yeah, it was really great. And then, gone. Hello. Amen. And then there's survivor faith. It's people that have faith, just if I can just make it through and just get to heaven. You know, God doesn't want us to have a maintenance faith. You know, it's not defensive. We're offensive. We're moving forward. We're going to do something for the glory of God. We're not just going to survive these trials. We're overcomers, more than just surviving. I can just make it to the rapture and get to my little old shed in the sky. And God's gotten more than that. Hallelujah. And then I thought about, you know, I know it's not a series, but it's on all the time. That's ESPN faith. You know, the sports network. You know, that's what it talks about in these verses. Matter of fact, listen, Paul says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin of unbelief that so easily entangles. And so let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the coach, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that set before him endured the cross. He ran the race, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Apostle Paul talked about it as an athletic event. You see, it's athletes, they have a disciplined life. They're dedicated. They're committed not to just make it through. They want to set a mark. They want to win. They want to be winners. You know, we don't do it for that reason. We're not doing it for a corruptible crown. We're doing it for an incorruptible crown. We're doing it for the Lord. I want to make a mark in this world for the glory of God, not for myself to say, look at that. I want to do this for God. I want to do something. I want to be a winner. I want to make things happen. That's what I want to do. Amen. And to keep my eyes on the coach, and I'm coming across the finish line. I don't want to limp across. Amen. I want to go across strong. I want to do something for Jesus. How about you? Come on. So faith perseveres and receives the promises. Unbelief gives up and misses the joy of victory. I found out in my life that when it's really pressing in on me, when it's just happening, you know, I for a little while it might kind of get to me and I just get a little discouraged, but there's something that just rises up inside of me. It's just that vision of my heart and the Lord that's in my life and knowing that he's called me and chose me and that just something rises up and they say, no, I'm going to stand strong. And it seems like when the pressure really is on, it's because the enemy knows that it's getting ready to break. And man, he is putting it on. He is laying it on you. He is trying to discourage you. It's quit, quit, quit. You need to quit. You need to quit. You just need to quit. Because he knows, man, things are going to happen. And if you just stand in that heat and let the Spirit of God just raise you up and stand and persevere, it's going to break. And things are going to happen. That's the way faith works. It's when things are looking the darkest that God's getting ready to do something. You know, I got to tell you, you know, that if I wouldn't be a man of faith, you know, the things that happened at the beginning of the week, it would have, you know. But there's something inside of us just said, man, God's going to bring good out of all this. Something's happening. This is just something's going on here. You know, we just knew that God's doing something. And then when we got the word that both of our fathers had passed away, it was just like, this is just too much God. He said, something good's going to come out of this. And even have the chance of the funeral to share with all these people that came from the community that were professionals and doctors and rich people. They need Jesus so bad. Man, and God just gave me a word and gave me confidence to preach the Lord and share the Lord. There was a guy that kind of spoke before me, and he wasn't real dignified, you know. He just kind of farm guy. I mean, it was great. But it was the Lord. It was just like, when I got up, they were just really ready to listen to me, you know. And they were just tuned in. And their hearts were so open. And I could feel the victory. People that had never heard and understood the gospel understood the gospel. See, God uses everything in our lives for good. Everything, 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 everything. When it was looking darkest, 3 days, Jesus in the grave. And the devil threw everything he could at Jesus. And then even the devil, he tried to do everything to keep Jesus in that grave. I mean, man, there were demons all over him trying to hold him down. Oh, man, the Spirit of God and resurrection came on. Out of that grave he came with the keys of death and hell in his hand and took captivity captive. When it was looking darkest. That's what God's going to do in your life. That's what he's going to do. So faith envisions tomorrow. Unbelief lives for today. Faith steps out when unbelief says, let's just stay here. Faith thinks of others. Unbelief's concerned with self. Faith risks and obeys. Unbelief fears and plays it safe. Faith perseveres and it receives the promises. Unbelief gives up and misses the joy of victory. God's put some of you in a place right now. There's such an opportunity that God's put in front of you. You can't afford to miss this. It's not just about a building. This is about the faith. This is about the victory. This is about God stretching you to enter in to what he's doing. Your life will never be the same. It won't just be this. It'll be other things in your life. When you take that step of faith and watch what God does, that's where the Lord has us, the church. And then we're going to move on. We're going to do this. And God's going to use us. And there's going to be future generations to come because of our faith. And there's going to be people saved. Young people are going to find Christ. And they're going to be delivered from drugs and pornography and homosexuality and all that stuff that the devil's throwing out. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he's going to raise up a standard. We're part of that. Father, today I thank you, Lord, for people that love you, for people who have a heart, Lord, for your word, that want to do something for you. We understand, Lord, destiny and what you've called us to. In Jesus' name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And please not moving around for just a moment so we won't disturb others. You know, if you're here and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, he's so real. It takes faith. You have to do something. It's not just believing. You have to do something. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they've never met him. You've got to take that step of faith and trust him. The Lord says, if you'll believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. It says, if you'll confess him before men, he'll confess before the Father. It's that taking that step of faith. Lord, you said, if I'd confess my sins, you'd forgive me. I ask you to forgive my sins. Lord, there are many. Lord, you said you'd forgive every sin I've ever committed. Gone. You paid for them in full, all of them. Lord, I thank you. I believe that promise. I receive forgiveness. Lord, you promised me if I'd ask you to come in my life, you would. God, I believe you are the Lord, Savior. Come into my life. You can't lie. I know you've done it. It's faith. And the Lord does what he promised. And if that's you today and you've never put your trust in Jesus alone, not in your good works, no one's justified by good works. Nobody. Nobody's good. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. The people in that funeral, they were good people, but they didn't understand that there's nobody really good. No one's saved just because they think they're good. It's trust in Jesus. He died for my sins, and he said, it's finished. It's done. And if that's you today, and you've never put your trust in Christ, maybe even say, I believe in Jesus, but you've never really said, Lord, forgive me, come into my life. I trust you. I want you to slip your hand up. When I see it, you can put it down. But just look at me when you do and you say, Pastor John, I know I need him. Thank you. I see your hand. I want to know God's plan for my life. I believe he has a destiny for my life. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else today? You say, man, I know I need the Lord's forgiveness. I need a new start. And I know God will bless me. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else this morning? You just slip it up. When I see your hand, you can put it down. You say, Pastor John, pray for me. Father, I pray for those that have raised their hands this morning. Lord, not only are you going to do what you say, but they're going to find out you're going to do more than anything they've ever imagined. You are so awesome. That they're going to know your love and acceptance and forgiveness, and you're going to begin to unfold the most marvelous plan, a true adventure, as you lead and guide and direct them through every trial and through pressures, but Lord, that they're going to know your blessing and your provision in the middle of it, and your presence that always going to be there and always lead them. So Lord, today I pray that you said, Lord, no one comes to you except you draw them, and they're going to meet you. I pray nothing is going to pull them out of this church before they meet you and find you today. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet and stay in an attitude of prayer. Our elders will be here at the close of the service to pray for anyone that's got needs here, whatever it might be. You can come in faith and believe. And if you raise your hand, the elders, you can come right now. And then any of you, just raise your hand, please. Come up. That's how you get saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. If you confess him before men, he'll confess before the Father. That's how you get saved. So while God's tugging on your heart, now's the time to respond. Because now's when it's going to be strongest. They're coming already. Who else? You just raise your hand. Just step out. Just come in faith. Praise the Lord. Who else? You raise your hand. Just step out in faith. God's going to do it right now. That's awesome. That's great.